Uh-oh. Let's pray again. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to study your word. And it's a sober section of scripture, but also an uplifting one, because we see your power over the demonic realms. And we know, Lord, that that power you have given to us through your Holy Spirit, that through your authority given to us as your children, we may take stands against the evil one and command demons to flee. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. All for one and one for all. All for one and one for all. That's the title of today's message. If you want to take out your sermon inserts, please follow along. It has the passage that we're going to be reading together, and you can follow along in the points. All for one, one for all. That is a good summary of what we're going to learn about today. That Jesus, after the storm that we learned about in the last couple of weeks ago, after the storm that Jesus confronts as if he's confronting a demon, he uses the same words that would be underlying in Greek, peace, be still, as he speaks to this hurricane-like storm on the Sea of Galilee, because he knows that the source of this storm is not just nature roiling about, but it is demonic. And because of what is lying ahead, this demon force residing in one man, Jesus goes all the way from the northeast section of the lake, the northwest section of the lake, down to the southeast section of the lake to be able to see this one man. And then he turns around and goes back. So all for one man. And then, in turn, this one man goes to tell all his neighbors, friends, community, even his culture about the Lord Jesus. So all for one, one for all. So today's main idea is this. Jesus' mission is our mission, because he lives in us, because he has given us his authority, his calling, his power. The same mission that he himself went on, he also calls us to be a part of. This picture above, I don't know if you can see it that well, kind of shows the scene, which is a good summary of the story. Jesus coming ashore on the other side of the Sea of Galilee and then confronting this man who had been inhabited by a legion, an army of demons. And as he's cast out, the demons are cast out, the man comes back to his right mind. His disciples come around him. And the demons flee because they've asked permission to go into these pigs, this herd of pigs, and the pigs are going off the side of the cliff. And you see off in the upper left-hand corner there, the man going kind of like this. He's probably the owner of the herd, is not happy that his pigs are killing themselves. So let's read about this story, starting from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Key verse in this next slide. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. So first, life application. People are crying out in torment all around us as well. Love them. Love them. Jesus goes out of his way for one man, confronting these hellish demons, this storm, endangering, in a sense, the lives of his disciples. But he knew that he was sovereign and in charge of this situation. And out of love for this one man, he came and heard the torments, the tormented cries, and he came to save him. There are people crying all around us, people experiencing stress, broken relationships, addictions, loneliness. When I think about the neighborhood as we walk around, I've been seeking God's heart for this neighborhood. And I know some of you live in this neighborhood as well. In the survey that we passed out to the congregation, you know, we've gotten it back from maybe about half of the people in the congregation, maybe a little bit more. But almost, well, not unanimously, but among many of your answers, when we asked what are some of the strengths and weaknesses, what are some of the greatest needs, many of you said, we are at a crossroads as a church. That part of our ministry is among the ethnic Chinese and those who are related to the ethnic Chinese or Asians. But then we also recognize, for whatever reason, God has us in this neighborhood, which is growing less and less ethnically Asian or Chinese. He has us as a lighthouse in this neighborhood, and we need to know how we can reach our neighbors. As I walk around on the floors of my apartment building, I see inside the recycling bins, you know, after a weekend like this, you know, they take away everything early in the morning, normally Monday through Friday, but on Saturdays and Sundays in our apartment just two blocks away, you know, piled high, bottles and pizza boxes, you know, bottles of wine and alcohol and beer bottles. You know, it reminds me of being back in the dorms all of a sudden, back in the university. But there's mostly singles, there's some families, but mostly singles within a half mile radius of us, I don't know how many thousands of apartments, thousands of people. And I look at them, and as I hear their conversations in the elevators, as I walk around and pray, you know, there's a desire to mean something in this world, to do something of meaning. That's why they're here in Washington, D.C., many of them. But there's also the feeling of despair that maybe what I'm doing is not enough, and the feeling of loneliness. I experienced a little bit of that just in a small sense because, you know, this weekend, Debbie, my wife, is not here. She's going to be gone next weekend as well. On Mother's Day, she's gone to be with our daughter, Hannah. There was a crisis situation that had been brewing over a period of time, and Hannah kept saying, no, it's okay, I'm all right, I'm all right. But as a father and as a mother, we know our daughter well, and we could see the situation was accumulating speed, and it was going to become more and more of a crisis. So Debbie had some time off from her school, or time she could take off for a week for a vacation time. So she is there now. She heard the cry of our child in her loneliness as well as in her sadness and also this spiritual attack. I don't say this lightly, but every time a pastor or myself preaches on evil or upon Satan, they will experience an attack, either indirectly or directly. I've seen that over and over when Debbie and I used to confront those who were involved in cults. There would be some physical attack or spiritual attack. And I recognize that even as we talked about this demonic storm 2 weeks ago and look what happened in the world, there's been a storm brewing in different places, especially in Baltimore that happened just a few days afterwards. All these things, you know, brewing, storms on the lake near Chicago where ships were out on, or yachts that were out for a sail, all of a sudden a storm rolled in. There are storms brewing all around us, in our families, outside, and there are demonic, sometimes, forces at work. But what I hope that we are able to see through this and through this message is that God says, in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that demonic influence, in the middle of this neighborhood which is rife with competing voices, his voice through you and through me may be heard. And he is calling us to a different mission, his mission in this neighborhood. And it starts with loving people. Now, not all of us live in the apartment building. Some of you have been into our apartment to visit and meet people. We've invited some neighbors and friends that we've met in the neighborhood over. But what you can do is this. You can pray, and then you can also do something else. Perhaps we have lunch every week, you know, on Sundays. But not, you know, I think we're trying to work that out all the time. But what you might choose to do is package that lunch up, bring it home, but instead you and your friends or your family, go and take lunch in the neighborhood. Get to know some people. Just have a conversation. Meet the clerks, the dining room staff. And later, I'll share with you a method that we might be able to reach out using in this neighborhood. So we need to prepare by learning to get by getting to know people and by learning how to love them. At least listen to them. Mothers do this very well. They hear cries across the room, sometimes outside, you know, amid 50 kids. One mom can hear their one child's voice. As we learn to listen to God and trust him, we'll be able to discern from the din of all these voices around us, individual voices, individual people who need love. And one thing I suggest to you very practically is in order to be able to grow in love for people is the four S's, which we kind of instituted in our life. Simplicity, you know, trying to simplify our lives so that we don't have own too much or things don't own us. Simplify your life so you have, you know, less clutter to clutter your mind and your heart. Spend more time in silence. So simplicity, silence, giving God time to talk to you. Don't fill your time always up with the iPod or with the TV or with the radio on the car. Spend time more listening to God. Spend some time in solitude. Time alone with God. Time with space to let him work in your life. Take notes, keep a journal. And finally, the last S, surrender. As God nudges you in a pathway, maybe talking with someone that you don't know, spending some time with them that in a way that will bless them, you'll surrender your ownership of that time of yours. Let's go on.